It is 9:35. I'm Melinda Murray, president of the Los Angeles City Ethics Commission, and at 9:35, the meeting is officially called to order, pursuant to special directive by the governor of the state of California. This meeting is open to all, and people can comment through calling in on the telephone line. You should have received those instructions on the email, and this meeting is being recorded remotely. With that, we will move to agenda item 2, public comments.
We do have some public comments. We're going to begin with roll call, if we can, please. Commissioner Dar.
Commissioner Dar present.
Commissioner Davis.
Commissioner Davis present.
Commissioner Janelle.
Commissioner Janelle present.
Commissioner Murray.
Commissioner Murray present.
Commissioner Orden.
Commissioner Orden present.
We have 5 members present and a quorum, Madam President.
Thank you. Now, if we could proceed with the public comments. Those who are making comments, please state your name, the organization you represent, and the item number which you wish to speak on. Thank you.
Caller with phone number ending in 208. If you can please dial *9 to unmute and state your name for the record. A caller with phone number ending in 208. If you can please dial *6 to unmute. Okay, it looks like we may be having some technical difficulties. If we can just have a minute here, please. And in the meantime, if anybody else would like to speak, you can dial *9 to raise your hand. Again, that is *9 to raise your hand. Caller with phone number ending in 208, please dial *6 to unmute and state your name for the record.
Nancy.
Yes, we'll try that one more time. Okay, it looks like our caller lowered their hand. If anybody would like to make a public comment, thank you for that. Just please go ahead and dial *9 to raise your hand first. Once you dial *9, you will be placed in the queue, and we will call out your phone number when it's your turn to speak.
Nancy, I was going to mention, can you verify that they're not unmuted on our end?
That's right, David. Okay, it looks like we have another speaker that just joined us. So if we can have anybody who would like to make a public comment, please dial *9 to raise your hand. And it looks like we have one raised hand. That's caller with phone number ending in 208. If you can please dial *6 to unmute and state your name for the record and the item that you're speaking on, please.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, clearly. Please go ahead.
Great.
Thanks. Yeah, sorry, earlier when I was unmuting myself, it said that I had been muted by the meeting host and could not unmute myself. This is Rob Kwan with UNREG LA. I'd like to speak on general public comment and item number 8.
Thank you, Mr. Kwan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. You know, I do appreciate the commission, you know, taking the effort to reevaluate its schedule. You know, unfortunately, just being real about things, we're looking to move from literally the most inconvenient time in the week to the second most inconvenient time in the week, which really doesn't address the thrust of the problem with your meetings overlapping with city council's meetings. It's a nice gesture, but it really doesn't address the problem. So, hope that there's maybe some consideration of doubling down and trying to figure something out. I want to say generally that I greatly appreciate the Ethics Commission staff and what it's been through in the last year and essentially being defunded passively through the SIPs and, you know, the budget constraints that are being placed upon everybody, but particularly falling upon Ethics Commission. I just really wish that our commissioners were a little bit more vocal about the budget and about the things happening in this city, because there's just really a vacuum there. And lastly, I want to highlight something. If you look over at the election totals from 2020, it's interesting to see that John Lee, aka Staffer B, has not filed any anything since February of 2020. That's really, really weird, don't you think? We've had two deadlines go past. Who knows what's happening there, but it seems like there's a whole lot that's out there in the plain open that should be getting evaluated by this commission. That's all I've got. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Kwan. Next speaker, please. Nancy?
It looks like we do not have any speakers at this time. If anybody does have a public comment, please go ahead and dial *9 now to raise your hand. Madam President, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. We'll move on to item number 3 on the agenda, approval of the minutes. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes? And if so, will someone make a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting?
Commissioner Dar will make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Second?
Commissioner Janelle, second.
Oh, let's take Commissioner Janelle since she popped up on the screen first. Thank you, Commissioner Janelle. Any further discussion? If not, call for the question. Nancy, could you take the roll, please?
Yes, please. The question is on the adoption approval of the last motion made. Those in favor of the motion, please say yes. Those opposed, say no. Commissioner Dar?
Dar, yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Commissioner Davis, yes.
Commissioner Janow?
Commissioner Janow, yes.
Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
Commissioner Orden?
Commissioner Orden, yes.
That's 5 yes votes, and the motion carries.
Next on to agenda item number 4, authorized neighborhood council. Are there any comments from an authorized neighborhood council?
There does not appear to be any comment.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda number 5. Proposed stipulation, if we could have our acting director of enforcement take the stage, please.
Board and President Murray and commission members, I'm Kirsten Pickenpah, interim director of enforcement. We have 2 agenda items before you today. The first is item 5, which is a stipulation involving respondents David Vela and Velada Consulting LLC. With me for the presentation of this item is Senior Investigator Stephen Cullen. David Vela is the sole owner of Respondent Velada Consulting LLC. He and his company are not represented by counsel in this matter. Mr. Vela has agreed to stipulate to two counts in violation of the municipal lobbying ordinance for failing to register as a lobbyist and for failing to register Velada Consulting as a lobbying firm in 2020. Mr. Vela and his firm would also jointly stipulate to one count of violating the ordinance for failing to file a disclosure report of their city lobbying activities during the second quarter of that year. Based on the stipulated facts and the number of counts in this matter, the maximum penalty in this case under Charter Section 706C3 is $15,000. Staff identified aggravating and mitigating factors during its consideration of all relevant circumstances in this matter before reaching a penalty recommendation. While the violations in this case are serious, Mr. Vela cooperated in the investigation and saved Ethics Commission resources by entering into a stipulated settlement prior to the preparation of a probable cause report. He and his firm have no prior enforcement history with the Ethics Commission, and they've now registered and filed the required disclosure report. Staff found no evidence of any deliberate violation or of an intent to conceal or deceive. Based on the facts and circumstances, staff recommends resolving this matter by imposing a penalty of $7,500 against Mr. Vela and Velada Consulting. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions or comments?
Commissioner Janelle, just one question.
Yes.
Yes. Less about the merits of the case, but really more just about kind of ongoing education. It mentioned that they did not seem to be aware that they needed to register as lobbyists. Have we looked at our materials and other information that we have online? Is there any lesson to be learned about why they didn't? Are our materials not sufficient? Or was it really just a case of they didn't think about it?
I believe the answer in this case is that Mr. Vela and his firm don't regularly engage in lobbying activity. They're aware that lobbying is regulated in the city, but until they spoke with our investigators, they didn't understand how the how lobbying activity time is calculated for purposes of reaching the threshold requiring registration.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing no further questions, call for, does somebody want to make a motion to approve the proposed stipulation for Vela and Velada Consulting LLC?
Commissioner Davis, so moved.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Orden, second.
Call for the question, please.
The question is on the adoption of the last motion made. Those in favor of the motion, please say yes. Those opposed, please say no. Commissioner Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Commissioner Davis, yes.
Commissioner Janow?
Commissioner Janow, yes.
Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
Commissioner Orden?
Commissioner Orden, yes.
We have 5 yes votes, and the motion carries. Madam President.
Thank you. Moving on to item number 6, Fry Madragon Rueda. Madam Enforcement Officer, Acting Enforcement Officer, thank you.
Thank you, President Murray. Item 6 on the agenda is a group of related stipulations involving respondents Craig Fry, his business Craig Fry & Associates, and 2 employees of that business, Larry Mondragon and Michael Rueda. And joining me for this item is Investigator Dylan Gligal. The respondents in this matter are represented by Beverly Hellison of the Law Offices of Beverly S. Hellison. Mr. Fry is a former city employee with more than 30 years of service with the Los Angeles Fire Department. He co-founded Craig Fry and Associates in 2013 after leaving city service. After being contacted by staff in response to a complaint regarding potential unregistered lobbying activity, the respondents in this group of cases have each agreed to stipulate to violating the municipal lobbying ordinance by failing to register as lobbying entities and by failing to file quarterly disclosure reports of their city lobbying activities between 2017 and 2019. The firm and Mr. Fry are admitting to 15 counts of violating the municipal lobbying ordinance. Mr. Ureta is admitting to 9 counts, and Mr. Mondragon is admitting to 5 counts. In addition, Mr. Fry admits to violating city law by making a prohibited campaign contribution and to failing to disclose that contribution in his quarterly report. The sum of the maximum potential penalties that may be assessed against these 4 respondents pursuant to Charter Section 706C3 is $230,000. Our penalty recommendation for these cases takes into consideration various mitigating and aggravating factors. In mitigation, the respondents cooperated in the investigation, saved commission resources by entering into a stipulated settlement prior to the issuance of a probable cause report. None of the respondents have prior enforcement history, and all have now registered and filed all required disclosure reports. In aggravation, the violations by Mr. Fry and his firm involve deliberate action and the violations are serious. Based on the facts and the relevant circumstances in these cases, staff recommends that the commission impose penalties of $63,750 for Mr. Fry, $56,250 for Craig Fry and Associates, $22,500 for Mr. Rueda, and $12,500 for Mr. Mondragon. Happy to answer questions if you have any on this item.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions or concerns?
Commissioner Janow, just same question I asked on the other one. Are our materials sufficient right now for these people? Had they thought about it to look at them and be aware of the violation so that they could have avoided it?
I think that we're always reviewing those materials and updating as new matters come to attention. In this case, I think that this firm initially started out providing safety consulting services, and as it grew, became more involved in specializing in regulatory compliance and was not aware that the matters they had previously been involved in, which largely involved ministerial matters, have now crossed over into some areas requiring advocacy. After our staff spoke with counsel for the respondents, they agreed that they were involved in lobbying activity and that they should register.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Commissioner Davis, I have a question. You may have just done a little bit more in my mind to exonerate Ms. Peckinpah. The Fry, I think when I read this, the fact that jumped out at me, which is something that has repeatedly come about in my over a year on the commission, is that generally it is one's former colleagues that seem to be dropping the dime on the people who are getting caught doing these things. But many of the people, by nature of their experience, here we have someone with 30 years of experience. We've certainly had others with numerous years of experience that have been exposed to ethics training. Going to Commissioner Janot's question, who have seen the rules and actively or inadvertently, but in many cases it appears that we've had, maybe not this one, actively sought to subvert them. And I can't help but escape the feeling that somewhere out there in the city family, there is a belief among some that they're not likely to get caught in these circumstances and therefore avoid. We rely extensively on the good graces of those who do the right thing. But there seem to be people who have extensive careers within the city who leave those careers with the belief that those rules don't apply to them. And I don't know that they just discovered this level of either willful ignore or ignorance or outright corruption at the time they leave city service. And I'm wondering what responsibility rests. I feel like there's a Good Samaritan system among the city family to report people, but clearly there are people who feel like no one's going to report them and they go ahead and do stuff. What requirement is there for existing staff when they see the sort of conflicts that they've been trained on to report, and what penalties exist when they fail to report?
I'm sorry, I can't think of a requirement on existing staff to report. I know that there's a requirement under the, I would have to review our regulations, but there may be an obligation to report violations falling within our jurisdiction. But I can't point to that right now. I know that there's an obligation under the Fraud, Waste, and Abuse Ordinance to report matters that fall within the jurisdiction of that ordinance within 10 days of becoming aware of them. And similarly to the Ethics Commission, if it's something that falls within those areas. David, can you help me out with the whether or not there's something in the regulations that requires current staff or employees to report?
Yes, there is no requirement that current employees report. There is a requirement that departments, when they become aware of it, report to us. And I'm not sure, Renee, if you want to add anything to that in terms of the requirement, but there isn't anything specific in our law or in city law that would require an employee to do so.
That's correct, David. The requirement is on the departments to report potential violations of the city's ethics, lobbying, campaign finance ordinance, as well as fraud, waste, and abuse. And it's not a specific requirement on an employee.
And Commissioner Davis, as part of the trainings that we've had with departments, obviously we encourage them to communicate to us if they are contacted by a former employee that is seeking to lobby them, so we can educate them on what requirements apply. We have also last year incorporated into our training, and when employees leave city service, those that are required to file financial disclosure statements, a notice that provides them information on the lobbying laws that may apply to them if they so choose to lobby the city once they leave. So we're trying to capture as many corners as we can to try to address this issue, but it'll be one that again, if people choose to not follow the law, we'll continue to look at. We are also implemented over the last year a couple of internal tools that we are conducting that I really don't want to touch on too much, into looking at individuals' lobbying and activity that potentially they are conducting that is not being reported. And so that's some of the work that is falling on the enforcement team and others on our staff to look at, looking at city information where we can be guided to areas where individuals are lobbying and not registering.
Excuse me, if I may add for the record, in response to Ms. Pickenpock's question, that was our executive director, David Tristan, followed by Deputy City Attorney Renee Stonnell, and Executive Director Tristan again. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions?
Yes.
On these action items?
Yes, Commissioner Orden.
Yes, please.
This is a question and comment starting maybe 2 years ago, there was a recognition, I believe, by the commission and the staff that there was a significant number of unregistered persons in the community who often did not call themselves legislative advocates or lobbyists, and were in regard to consulting. They said they were consultants, expediters, and act may very well have believed that they did not fall within this category. And I think during some of that time, the staff and the commission determined that it should be more aggressive and prepared more materials and made it known through public comments that the commission was actively looking to ensure that all were truly registered. It's been a difficult time, I think, because there is, as Commissioner Janow mentioned, they would point to the fact that, well, we haven't been paying that much attention to it, and I didn't really understand, and I didn't know. So there's a lot of tension in this area, and it's probably one that on both sides that we need to maybe increase our educational outreach to the departments in particular, not putting the burden perhaps on the individual employees, but I do think it's something that we should again revisit after a certain period of attempting to police here and go forward, and certainly I would be happy to assist and ask Commissioner Janow to assist to look at this as a subcommittee, so that we can see what tinkering or what major overhaul is necessary to have a level playing field among the registered and unregistered community.
Thank you. That sounds like a terrific idea. Maybe the subcommittee could put on their thinking caps again. Again, we have tried to do outreach signs when you go, you know, everywhere around City Hall, and whether that's doing the trick or whether Commissioner Davis inferred that people sort of know what's going on and continue to circumvent that is a different question. So perhaps maybe the subcommittee could meet before the next meeting or even after and put their thinking caps on again. Thank you so much. So with that, thank you, Commissioner Orden.
Sure. A quick comment, Commissioner Dar. I was going to make a comment or question actually that probably now goes to the subcommittee, but I was going to simply ask before Commissioner Orden's good comments and question, what tools and education do we provide the departments in order for the departments and their employees to be aware and not assume that individuals may or may not be properly registered as lobbyists? You know, in the case we have before us that we have on our agenda right now, I would imagine that people would have assumed in the department side that if they were to be required to be registered as lobbyists, that people of prior experience of this level would have been registered. So what tools and education is there for the departments to have the awareness to even think about the issue rather than just take it for granted?
Commissioner Dart, over the last couple of years, what we've incorporated is in the vast majority of the city agendas, there's now language that notifies individuals of the possibility of having to register. We have also worked closely with the Department of Planning, Building and Safety, and others to have our materials at their on their websites, on their front counters and public areas. And we've also been working with neighborhood councils to provide outreach to individuals that communicate with them. So we absolutely can continue to look at those areas and see what else we can do with departments to try to incorporate this information for the regulated community, so there is no concern about their notice and their familiarity with the regulations.
Is it all possible that maybe as part of the citywide training on Brown Act and other ethics issues, that maybe there's something that incorporates a small little segment on lobbying just to put that on people's radar?
Absolutely, we can. And one of the challenges that will always exist, and even more now, will be a department's willingness to spend their resources on communicating this information out. While we know we have departments have been very receptive attempting to work with us, again, given the current financial situation, it will always be a challenge with them in terms of how much work they're willing to do on what they would probably view would be our requirement. But we are always willing to do that. And like I said, Nancy and her team have done a great job in partnering with those departments that have immediately responded and committed resources. So I can speak with Renee about what options there are in terms of doing something citywide with the Brown Act or some other training that happens citywide to provide this information to the departments.
Right. Thank you. If not any other further questions or comments, do we have a motion to approve the stipulations with regards to Craig Fry and Associates, Larry Mondragon, and Michael Rueda?
Commissioner Janelle, I'll move.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Orden, second.
Thank you. Call for the question, please.
The question is on the adoption of the last motion made in relation to item 6. Those in favor of the motion, please say yes. Those opposed, please say no. Commissioner Dar?
Commissioner Dar, yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Commissioner Davis, yes.
Commissioner Janelle?
Commissioner Janelle, yes.
Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
Commissioner Orden?
Commissioner Orden, yes.
We have 5 yes votes, and the motion is adopted. Madam President.
Thank you. I'm going to go out of order. I'm going to call item number 8 because I know Commissioner Orden may have to leave, but she could stick around. So I'd like to jump and talk about the regularly scheduled meetings, which I'd like input from all the commissioners. So if we could have a discussion about those items, please, about item number 8.
Commissioner I'll just say I know I was the one last time who said, let's see if we can't find a way to change it. Obviously, with all of our schedules that are locked in our day jobs, we haven't been able to accommodate some of the public commenters' concerns. It sounds as if, at least from public comment, that the third Wednesday is somewhat better than the Tuesday. I was just trying to accommodate the conflicts, but we have conflicts either way. So I can do it either time, and I'm just happy to do what the majority is most convenient. It doesn't look as if we could really have a meeting at a time that doesn't conflict with others.
Yeah, I want to thank Commissioner Orden for bringing this point up, and also the staff and everyone's input, timely input on this matter. Do any of the other commissioners have any questions or comments at this time?
You know, Madam President.
Oh, go ahead.
Commissioner Davis, I would pretty much agree with Commissioner Orden. It is not possible. It is not where I would hope we'd land, but the reality is this is where we are. I think, Wednesday seems to be a little better. At least it's the second worst day to be. So moving from the first to the second, if that's what we can do, that's where I would cast my lot here.
Okay, so does someone have a motion whether or not we should adopt the recommendation of the staff one way or the other?
Commissioner Davis, I would move that we accept the Wednesday proposed schedule presented by the staff for the remainder of 2021.
So Wednesday.
Commissioner Darrow, is there a second? I'm sorry.
Okay, call for the question,
jumping
please.
Ahead.
So we have a second by Commissioner Darr, is that correct?
That is correct.
For the Wednesday, call for the question, please.
Can we have one just second of discussion or a comment?
Okay.
Sure, I was just saying, the motion is just for this calendar year, but I think that it doesn't need to be part of the motion, but at the end of this calendar year, we should make a point of revisiting again everyone's schedule, city schedules, and see if we can do any better, you know, going forward.
Okay, thank you. And again, this comes up every year, but let's continue to have an open dialogue. Thank you, Commissioner Darr. With that, could call for the question, please.
The question is on the adoption of the last motion made. Those in favor of the motion, please say yes. Those opposed, please say no. Commissioner Darr?
Commissioner Darr, yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Commissioner Davis, yes.
Commissioner Janow?
Commissioner Janow, yes.
Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
Commissioner Orden?
Commissioner Orden, yes.
We have 5 yes votes, and the motion carries, Madam President.
Thank you. Finally, we have the last action item. If hopefully Commissioner Orden could give us a couple of minutes, and we'll get through this very quickly. This is on the personal services agreement. I hope everyone has had a chance to look it over. It is fairly straightforward. Does anyone have any questions on that item? Hearing no questions, do I have a motion to approve that?
Mr. Darr will so move.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Orden will second.
Thank you. Call for the question on the resolution, please.
The question is on the adoption of the last motion made. Those in favor of the motion, please say yes. Those opposed, please say no. Commissioner Darr?
Commissioner Darr, yes.
Commissioner Davis?
Commissioner Davis, yes.
Commissioner Janow? Commissioner Janow, and I think we have
Commissioner Janow, yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Murray?
Commissioner Murray, yes.
Commissioner Orden?
Commissioner Orden, yes.
We have 5 yes votes, and the motion carries. Madam President.
Thank you so much. I'm going to skip past the next agenda items, I believe, and let's get to the Executive Director's report. Welcome, Director Tristan. This is your first meeting, and also welcome to now Vice Director, Assistant Director Holt, but take it away, Director Tristan, please.
Thank you, President Murray. It's been a pleasure for me to be here already 1 month and to present my first executive director's report. This first month of January, like every January, is our busiest month of the year. We have filings in every one of our programs leading up to the April 4th annual filings of statements of economic interest. This first month already, we received over 2,300 filings in the office for this year, and that will continue as we move forward this year. In terms of key items on the executive director report, I did want to mention that we begin formal discussions on our budget this week with the mayor's office and the CAO, and we will continue to raise the question about our ability to be able to fill the director of audits position and the our program manager for our lobbying program. We will also continue to ask for funding for the development of the developer database, which is critical for the law that will take effect in after the primary election in 2022. And we look forward to those discussions. I did want to thank the staff for their great work over not just last year, but the beginning of this year. You know, with us being shorthanded, the team has been jumping in and helping on the various projects, including the lobbying program. And so I want to thank them for all their work in that area. I'd be more than glad to answer any questions you have on the report.
Commissioner Orton?
Yeah.
Yes, I just, before having to leave early for an ongoing meeting in the other room, other Zoom, I think we would like as commissioners to be as helpful as you as we possibly can to the staff during this time of budget crisis. And anything that we can do in terms of any of these meetings to be available, I'm sure all of us feel the same way. We are at your disposal by email or phone or Zoom to be personally involved. It's a very difficult time for the whole city, but we cannot afford to be adversely or unfairly impacted.
Yeah. Great.
I'll communicate with Melinda dates and times that are available, and then we can go from there in terms of the upcoming meetings that we will have with the mayor's office and the CAO, and eventually the council budget committee and full council.
Yeah, great. Again, I want to reiterate what Commissioner Orton said and also point out what Mr. Kwan said. We are concerned. I know these are very dire times for everybody across the board, and hopefully we could be helpful in any way we can. So with that, I don't think we have any other action items, and all of the other items can be reviewed online by the public and also by our commissioners. And unless anyone has any other comments, questions, or announcements, I will move to adjourn the meeting. So at 10:17, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Commissioner Orton, for sticking it out for us on our little part of the world for just a couple more minutes, and I will see everyone in April, if not before then. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you.
Bye,
thank
everyone.
You. Bye-bye, bye. All.
Bye. Thank you.
The recording has stopped.